You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
To the book of Ephesians chapter 5, and if you don't have a Bible and would like to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, if you hold your hand up, we'll get you a Bible. Anybody? Okay, we got a few takers. You need to always get a Bible and check me. I might just lie to you.
That's true.
Yeah, I've lied before, believe me. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, let me tell you now that we're not going to get finished with the scripture we're going to read. And this will be the first time I've ever done this, but this will be a two-part message. We will finish it next week. I want to talk to you tonight about being a Christian. Most of the time in the rec room, I speak, other speakers speak on becoming a Christian. And you can't be a Christian if you haven't become a Christian. So it's good that we do that. That's the most important thing, is becoming a Christian. And becoming a Christian is an event. It's like when you were born. That was the beginning of your life, but that was an event. You celebrate it once every year, but it was just one event, and here you were in this world, alive with as much life as you were ever going to have. Now, you couldn't walk, you couldn't talk, couldn't feed yourself, couldn't take care of yourself, but you had as much life as you was ever going to get. Then that life began. You began to learn things. We grew. We made mistakes. We succeeded in some things. And sometime we did it badly, and sometime we did it well. But it was a growth process. Now, spiritually, we have the same thing. The Bible said you must be born again. That's a spiritual birth. That's salvation, getting saved. Most of you, what I'm saying tonight is old hat to you. You're very familiar with this, but I just want to rehash it a little bit as we get into the message. Then there was that life. The Bible said, as newborn babes, desire ye the sincere milk of the word. We started out with milk and then with meat. We are to grow. Now, unfortunately, we got a lot of spiritual retards. And you're looking at one. I wasted many years of my life. And I'm not proud of that. I didn't grow like we're supposed to grow. But we want to talk about this, being a Christian. Some people say, boy, being a Christian is tough. Others say, well, it's easy. And you're talking to somebody and they say, hang on, and the other person says, turn loose. And you're going, what do I do now? Okay. So Paul talks about this a lot. Paul wrote half of the New Testament, and he talks about the Christian thing quite a bit, and how to get some things done. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, you get to be a Christian by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me just explain that right up front. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're God's child. If you haven't, you're not God's child. You don't get born into Christianity. Just because your family was Christian doesn't make you Christian. Just because you was born in America, which used to be a Christian nation, doesn't make you Christian. It's an event. It's something that occurred in your life. You got saved one day, somewhere, at some time. That now then, from that point, we are to live that Christian life. So in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to begin, I'm sorry, chapter 4, we're going to begin reading of, let's start in verse 20. Paul is talking to him about some things, and he said, you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, and keep that in mind, because you're going to need that in your lifetime, because that's becoming a very argumentative point. And most of this world does not believe the truth is in Jesus. I'm telling you right now, most of America doesn't believe it anymore. Now then, here's what he said. He said that you put off the former conversation, the old man, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt to deceitful lust. That's the person that got saved. That's the old person. And notice this, he didn't say which was corrupt. He said, which is corrupt? There's an old Leland that is as sorry and rotten as he's ever been. We're not to get him cleaned up. There's a new Leland who, that's my new life when I got saved, that new birth. And the Bible says that, calls it the flesh and the spirit, old man, new man, and said there's a warfare going on. Said the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to another. And that's what happens and makes church splits. People get contrary because we're going to walk in the flesh about as much as we walk in the spirit. So he said, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is not just a heart thing, people. It's a mind thing. The Bible said, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. He talks about the transforming of your mind. And so he said, you put on the new man, verse 24, which after God is created in righteousness, holiness. We got one rotten man, we got one perfect man, and he dwells within every Christian that there is. That's why there's a struggle day by day, moment by moment. Now then, here's what he said do for the new man. And so we've got seven or eight, however you want to count them, steps here. And like I say, we won't finish them all tonight. But we'll get started with them. He said, wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. How do you put away lying? Tell the truth. Now, isn't that hard? This real complicated, isn't it? Well, I don't read the Bible because I don't understand it. Well, you couldn't understand the Old Testament America if you didn't read it. See? Let me tell you, there's a whole lot in that Bible. It's not the problem we don't understand it. It's that we won't obey it. See, that's my problem. I understand a whole lot more than I'm willing to obey. Believe me. So, he said, wherefore, put away lying. Just start telling the truth. How do you stop that? We don't have to go off to counseling. Well, I need counseling on my lying. No, just tell the truth. See, once you tell the truth, lying is gone. It's very simple. You start doing the right thing and you don't have time to do the wrong thing. If you tell the truth all the time, you never lie. Isn't that simple? See, you don't even need a GED to grab that. Hey. Then the next thing he said is, be ye angry and sin not. We're so afraid of that word angry. We got to send him to anger management school. There's some things you need to get mad about. Most of us get mad about the wrong things. Most of us, the reason we get mad is because they've hurt our feelings. This week, I'm sitting back in my office, and I hear some ranting and raving back up the front, and I know that Linda and the secretary both are, and I'm just grasping part of this. Don't hear very good anyway, but I can tell that whoever's doing the talking is unhappy. And so I just get up and walk to the front, and there's a lady using our phone. I don't know who she's calling, don't know who she was. She just stopped in to use the phone. But she is telling whoever she's talking to on the phone how she is chewing out these people and how she's not going to be treated this way and how she's not going to be treated that way and how she's not going to be looked down upon and this, that, and the other. Every now and then, I've had people in my parole class say, they don't nobody tell me what to do. I said, then how come you show up tonight? Did you want to be here? Every one of us get told that. He said, be angry. Do you know Jesus Christ got angry? The Bible said he got a look, turn, hold strong in Ephesians, turn over to the book of Mark. Matthew, Mark, chapter 3. And look at verse 5. Matthew, Mark, chapter 3, and verse 5. And this is Jesus. When he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. He's going to heal this guy. And somebody said, whoop, you can't do that on the Sabbath. Jesus got angry. You need to get angry about some things. You don't need to get angry at people so much as you need to get angry at the devil and angry at evil and angry about some things. And there's things that make me angry. And there's things that ought to make you angry. Things that made Jesus angry. Nothing wrong with anger if, notice what it said, to be angry and sin not. And here's where the sin comes in. We start letting it eat us up. He said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Get it out. Get it over with. Go to bed and start a new day. Make sense? Yeah. See, just get it over with. Get it out on the table. Hey, I don't like that. Then he said, neither give place to the devil. We give the devil way too much credit. Well, the devil did this, devil did that. And I believe in a personal devil. I believe he's got more power than any individual. But let me tell you, if you're God's child, and that's who Paul's talking to, Paul said, neither give place to the devil. You know what we've done? We've sat down and we've scooted over and said, hey, won't you come here and sit down by me, Satan? I'll give you some place. Speaking of place, by the way, you need to stay out of the places where he goes. Look at the Proverbs chapter 4. About the middle of the Bible will be Psalms, and right after it is the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4 says this, verses 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. There's places you need to stay out of. I can guarantee you this. I don't care how many treatment centers you've been to. If you start hanging around in places where they're using, you'll start using. You just can't be in certain places. Because then we're giving place to the devil. We're giving him the foothold. We're giving him an edge. He said, don't do that. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give him any advantage. Stay in the Bible. Stay in prayer. Don't help him. Goodness, he can do enough. And by the way, that's our responsibility. And let me give you one more thing about that. If the devil was strong enough to take the place, this would be a worthless scripture. It'd be redundant. He can't take the place, but you can give him the place, and I can give him the place. People say, well, the devil did this to me. Let me tell you, and I believe the devil's an enemy, but the biggest enemy I got tonight's in a red shirt. I'm looking at y'all in red shirts. Maybe I need to say that different. The biggest enemy I got tonight standing behind this podium. I'm the root cause of most of my problem. See? Now, if I could blame the devil. See, that's what Eve did. God came to Adam and he said, you eat the fruit of that tree. And Adam said, well, the woman. The woman you gave me, God, is partly your fault. You gave me a bad woman. A bunch of us just picked them, didn't we? It's amazing. Every divorce started out with, I love you. And so he turned to Eve. God turned to Eve. He said, you eat of that fruit? And she said, the devil made me do it. It's the only time in the Bible I've ever felt sorry for the devil because he didn't have anybody to blame. That's it. They've run the gauntlet. See? Neither give place. Verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. How do you stop stealing? Stop stealing. So just let him quit. Well, don't you think I ought to have therapy? Well, see, my problem's a little deeper. I'm a kleptomaniac. No, you're a thief. That's all it is. Not a kleptomaniac. We get all these big words, so it sounds like we've got a disease. We got a behavior problem. And the reason we have that is because we've got a belief problem. You get the belief solved and the behavior problem will become solved. You get the right belief, and it's amazing how that we change our behavior. If you think tomorrow, as you're moving around town, that the police are following you, you will really be nice. If you believe they're watching you, now if you think they're not, no telling what we might do. See? He said, just stop thinking. And notice what he said here. Let him that stole steal no more, but do what? What did he say? But let him labor working with his hands the thing which is good. Get a job, he said. Get a job. We live in a time, I can't recall where I was reading this, but it sounds so right. It said that Jesus was walking through healing people, and one guy jumped up and started running and said, "Don't touch me, don't touch me, I'm drawing disability." We don't want to heal. We don't want to work. Isn't there some way I can get out of working? He said, get a job. Let him work with his hands. And notice this. He said, the thing which is good, that means do something that's good with your hands, that he might have to give to him that needeth. Not so you can gather up a bunch of money and have a bunch of CDs and gather all this personal wealth. Why are we to get money? To help somebody else. See, this is exactly what he said. It's hard. Let me tell you something. You can't outgive God. I've always been tight. Except when it came to me. If it's my clothes, my shoes, my car, then I'd spend the money on it. But I didn't want to spend it on anybody else. And God taught me some real lessons about that. For which I'm very thankful. They weren't easy lessons, and I wasn't thankful for them at the time. Let me tell you that. But through 26 years of this ministry, and the last 21 since we have been loops, and Linda and I really went through some tough times. And I'm not complaining about this. They're sweet times to us. We was talking about that yesterday. We did not, and this honest truth, we did not have the money to buy a Coke. For the first 2 or 3 years of our marriage, we never had a cold drink that somebody else didn't give us. It was in order to do and go to the prisons and to do things, we just didn't have it. If she hadn't been such a good cook, I mean, that gal, my wife can cook Mexican food like nobody can cook Mexican food. And every time somebody would invite us out, they'd ask her where she wanted to go eat, and she said, Mexican food. I told her one time, I said, no, we don't want to go eat Mexican food. She said, I love Mexican food. I said, I do too, but you're the best cook in town. Let's go get a steak. Let's go get something we don't have. You know, let's, cheeseburger. Let's do it. But in that time, we learned about giving. And I remember she'd come in one day and walked in my office, and she said, Leland, we've got $300 left in the bank. And I didn't plan this. It just kind of jumped out of my mouth. I said, then we need to give somebody something, don't we? And there was a person who had a real need, and we sent them $150. And before the week was over, a person from the same town that that person was in that we helped, unbeknownst to us, sent us a check for $1,500. God multiplied it by 10. We are debt free today. Now, we may not be tomorrow. We don't carry any credit card debt. Man, I used to do that. I've stiffed more credit card companies than you shake a stick at. Don't do that anymore. Learn to give. See, it's all God's anyway. Somebody said one time, well, I tell you what, said we didn't pay our $37 tithe, and Johnny was on his bicycle and fell and knocked his front teeth out. The dentist charged us $37. God got his $37 anyhow. I said, no, he didn't. The dentist got it. See, God's not broke. He don't need your $1.298 nor mine. But you give to him. And I'm talking about giving. I'm not talking about investing. I'm not talking about like you hear on TV, well, if you send me $100 and God give you $1,000. And I've always wondered, if they really believed that, then why wouldn't they send me $100 so they could get $1,000? They don't do that, do they? I'm talking about giving, not loaning, not investing. Giving to God. Say, Lord, here it is. This is it. That you may have to give. I'm going to stop there. We'll pick up the verse 29 next week. Here's some very simple, wonderful things of being a Christian. You'll have some hard battles. But you know what's amazing? They're not complicated. It's just a matter of surrendering our will to His. Everything we've read, everybody in here understands. Nobody needed an education to get the message. Now, as I started out and said, we always speak mostly about becoming a Christian. So I won't bow your heads for a moment. We're going to be out of here just in a second. But with heads bowed and eyes closed. And you have never trusted Christ as your Savior. You're here tonight for whatever reason. Maybe just to get out of where you were. Maybe because God nudged you and you felt like you ought to come. Maybe for the goodies, maybe for the fellowship, maybe for the music. But if you were to die tonight, you have no hope of heaven. And you'd say, Leland, pray for me. I want to be a Christian. I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just slip up your hand if that's your request? I see your hand. Anyone else? Real quickly. Yes, sir. I see your hand. You can just slip it up and put it down. Yes, sir. I see your hand. Put them up. Put them down. Yes, sir. I see. Yes, I see your hand. Anyone else? Very quickly. I want to be a Christian. I see yours, sir. I see yours and yours and yours. Yes. Yeah. All over the room. Now, here's what I want you to do. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again so that you and I could be saved. And if you believe that, and if you want to put your trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone, in a moment when Charles starts singing, I want you to step out. Come down, put your hand in Johnny's or Doug's and say, I want to be saved. I want to trust this Jesus tonight. Now then, there's some of you that are God's children. You've been God's children for a while, but the truth of the matter, if somebody were to have arrested you for being a Christian, there wasn't enough evidence to convict you. You say, Leland, I just need to come home tonight. Like the song says, Lord, I'm coming home. I've wandered far away from you. Now I'm coming home. If that's you, I want you to come to this altar and get it right with Jesus Christ tonight. Don't put it off. As we stand, head still bowed, eyes still closed, let's stand. Is Charles saying, would you come? Step out for Jesus. Come on. Come right on, right now. Come on, guys. There you are. Y'all get with these guys right here. Come on, fellas, right here. Got a whole bunch right here, Johnny. Just talk to all of them. Lord, I'm coming home. Come on. Coming home. Come home so that when we go home, you'll be part of the crowd. One more verse, Charles. Tonight that came and put your faith and trust in Christ for the first time, if you'll stop at that table as you go out, there's a pamphlet back there that says, what have I done and what do I do now? You can take that and your Bible and sit down in the quietness of your room and go over it and know God put in writing everything that you need to know. Where that years from now you won't be looking back at an emotion, but you'll be looking back at the truth. Pick up one of those. They're free of charge. Get one. Those of you that didn't come and know you should, we pray that you have one more opportunity. Our refreshment bars open. Looking for jobs. We got people to help you with that. Whatever you need, we'll be here a while. Nobody has to leave. Thank you for being here. Our Father, thank you so much for all your many blessings. And for those that came tonight. And for blessing your word. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website, can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.